eyes was tangible. Prior to their arrival, the men had been at Farra Sabrina in Italy, and Arthur had drawn the lowest card and missed out on what turned out to be a fairly straightforward escape bid. He wondered now how much he would regret that. A few minutes later, they came to a factory. To the side of the road was a young girl of about 15, being severely and brutally flogged with a riding crop by an officer of the SS. Kneeling helplessly in front of him, the young girl was facing the oncoming POWs and presented to them a figure of terror. Her hair had been carelessly shaven and her scalp was cut. Fresh wounds inflicted by the German officer were bleeding, and small red rivers ran from her forehead to her chin. She was naked above the waist, and Arthur could see from her ribs and drawn cheeks that she had not been properly fed for some time. The officer momentarily stopped for breath, and the young girl looked up. Her eyes were saucepan wide as she pleaded to the sadistic monster before her to relent. He laughed out loud and shouted across to two of the guards standing by. Then he carried on mercilessly whipping her across the head and shoulders. For some of the Tommies watching, it was too much. One of the lads tapped Arthur on the shoulder and stepped forward.
"Come on, lads," he said. "I've had enough of this little bastard."
Arthur and three others followed him, walking purposefully towards the SS officer. Arthur shouted for him to leave the girl alone. Unused to such a challenge to his authority, the officer was momentarily taken aback. But as they closed in, he took the whip into his left hand and reached for his pistol. At the same time, a soldier of the Wehrmacht raised his rifle and aimed it at the men. The soldier's call stopped them in their tracks.
"Anhalten Sie! Er wird getötet!"
Translation was hardly necessary. If they took another step, the officer would shoot them dead. There was no camaraderie between the two Germans. What the soldier was telling them was for their own good.
"Zurückgehen Sie!"
The men stopped, and the officer smiled across to the rifle-bearing soldier. Still holding his pistol, he walked towards the Tommies. As it was Arthur who had shouted out, he stood in front of him and stared coldly into his eyes. The officer was the prototype of Hitler's Aryan Adonis. Tall, handsome, blonde, and steely blue-eyed. Arthur dared to stare him out, his own revulsion of the man overcoming the fear he felt. Without dropping his cynical smile, the officer nodded and backed away.
"Ein andere Zeit," he whispered to Arthur with menace. "Another time."
Arthur was in no doubt that they would meet again before very long. Orders were barked, and the men were ordered back into the column. Marching again, they looked behind them and saw their intervention had done the girl no favours. The officer beat her now with a greater ferocity than ever. Arthur clenched his fists and grimaced. He knew that her only crime was to be Jewish. She would not live much longer. Arthur woke with a start, his body trembling and sweating. The nightmare was frightening and familiar. It was one of a number he had endured for nigh on 40 years. His wife, Olwen, had long ago become used to his sudden screams in the night. She got up without comment and made her way downstairs to the kitchen. A few minutes later, she came back with a cup of tea and a couple of aspirins, as she always did. She held a vinegar-soaked flannel to his forehead and murmured her usual words of comfort.
"Same old nightmare again, love."
Arthur nodded. But this was much more than a nightmare. He was reliving an incident from which he had never mentally recovered. In 1943, Arthur had been captured and sent to a succession of prisoner of war camps before being interned just outside a small Polish town for nearly 2 years. When the war was over, he had tried to talk about his experiences, but found it very difficult to describe what he had seen. In any case, he knew that few people would believe him. There were no Tommies there, only Jews. But Arthur had been there. The camp was near a beautiful village in Upper Silesia, known to the local Poles as Oswiecim. The Germans gave it another name, now synonymous with mankind's most perverse and darkest hours. They called it